Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
Welcome to episode 100 of Listen In with KNN. Ray, I cannot believe it. We are at episode 100. We've been on a long time, and it's been a fun ride. Ray, how are you feeling with episode 100?
I'm feeling old, man. I feel like a veteran in the game. You know, I'm very excited.
Oh, don't do that.
So we're on episode 100 or 100, depending on where you're from. You know, everybody says it differently, so it's kind of funny because you said it two different ways, but it's all good. But like I said, I'm excited. You know, we're here. Celebration. Woo! Keep going, keep pushing, yeah. Keep working hard. I feel like we get better every day, better every week, get more fans. So keep it pushing. Let's go.
Yes, it's exciting. It's time to pull out the bottles, pop the bottles, whatever you need to do to celebrate with us. But it's going to be a fun show. And again, we sincerely thank each and every one of you for riding along with us on this journey with Listening with KNN. And this was episode 100, but we're looking forward to 100 more and 100 more. And we'll hope you'll continue to join us each and every week for Listening with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. And Ray, continuing in the celebration, today we are welcoming on Mr. Luis Sanchez, who sports fans know very well from his coverage of Boston College and ESPN3, as well as the ACC Network. This man does it all, so you guys are in for a fantastic show. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation on social media using hashtag ListenInWithKNN. Now, before we get into the celebration, you know we've got to give you guys This Week in Sports History, so I hand it over to you, Ray. What's up with This Week in Sports History?
All right, I'm going to take you right to May 22nd, 1994. The city of Toronto was scheduled to enter the NBA as an expansion franchise for the 1995-96 season, and they unveiled the Raptors as the team's nicknames. How about you, Kelsey?
You know, I'm on my till this day mode right now. Shout out to Deontay Wilder, who we'll talk about later. So I chose the boxing world. I am going to May 20th, 1983. This is when the American heavyweight boxer Larry Holmes defeated countryman Tim Witherspoon by a split decision to retain his WBC title in Las Vegas. So all was well in the boxing world. And real boxing fans, y'all remember that date well. All right, it's time for a quick commercial break, and we will be right back with our special guest. Stay tuned.
Advertisement and sponsorship opportunities are now available for Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, WHAP.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the DMV. I am the other Ray J, along with Kelsey Nicole Nelson. Join us in welcoming ESPN3 broadcaster and Boston College journalist, Luis Sanchez. How you doing, Luis?
I'm doing really well. Thank you guys for having me. I'm really excited to be on tonight with you and talking some sports.
All right, we're happy to have you. And before we get started, you want to do a quick little background on yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a broadcaster for ESPN3, as you mentioned. Also the ACC Sports Network, which is coming this August 2019. Really excited about that. But I've been broadcasting since 2008, since I was an undergrad at Boston College. Still followed Boston College throughout my career. I was able to work at ESPN in Bristol, Connecticut, and still broadcasting going into my 12th year. Just finished up my 11th year going into my 12th year.
All right. Wow, that's a lot. 12 years is a
yeah,
long
congratulations.
Time.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, before we get into the question and answer, we always like to do a little bit of an icebreaker game. We call this game This or That. Basically, I'm going to give you two options, and you choose between the two of which one you rather prefer. You ready for that?
All right, let's do it.
All right. Five Guys Burger or In-N-Out Burger?
Five Guys.
NBA or NFL?
Ooh, NBA.
Gatorade or Powerade?
See, I love Gatorade, but I really drink a lot more Powerade, so I have to say Powerade.
Okay. Well, why do you stick with Powerade more?
It's the cheaper one at the grocery store. You get like 10 for $10, you know. The Gatorades are like $1.99, you know.
Well, I got a good suggestion for you. I don't know if you ever want to steer away from those two, but Body Armor's pretty good. I love Body Armor.
Body Armor? Okay.
It's a real low-key one.
All right. I'm always up for suggestions. I play too many sports, so, you know, hydration is always key.
It's got a little bit of coconut water in it, so if you like coconut water, then you might get into it a little bit. But anyway.
I don't like coconut, but I like coconut water, so I'll take you up on that.
All right. Coke or Pepsi?
Ooh, Coke. Easy.
Sweet potato pie or pumpkin pie?
Sweet potato pie.
Are you a Droid guy or an iPhone guy?
iPhone, but I just switched. I got my first iPhone, and it made me commit forever. So I was always a Droid.
That's how it goes. You get once you get that one iPhone.
You get it. It's like, oh my God, this is amazing. It's like, so you stick with it.
No turning
so
back.
Yeah, iPhone. Exactly. I can't. All my friends are like, but the Galaxy, and I'm like, no, I'm good. I'll stick with the iPhone.
All right. Facebook or Twitter?
Facebook.
Oh wow! Really?
Yeah, unfortunately. See, I was big on Twitter for a while. I had this little network, my W Sports, and it was like, it put me back on Twitter. I love Twitter. And then Twitter just got too gross for me, for real. So, you know, I stick to Facebook now.
Oh, wow. Too much uncensored stuff on Twitter for you.
Yeah, exactly. Too many opinionated, uncensored things. And so I stay away from that.
I like good
debates. Don't get me wrong. I love good debate, but, you know, come with facts.
Okay, DC Comics or Marvel Comics?
Ooh, Marvel.
I feel like that one's a little unfair right now. We just had Avengers come out, and DC had a great movie. So, it's not just the movies. You can go, that's why I said comics. So, if you like the books better, it's fine. But DC's really down right now.
As a kid, we had them all. But the movies really kind of swayed my opinion, you know?
Yeah,
movies,
I think
the movies really...
DC's kind of dropped the ball with those, but
yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Are you a early morning guy or a late night guy?
See, I work at a school, so I have to say I'm an early morning guy, but I hate mornings.
My school would start at 9 o'clock every day. I can't do that early morning.
Right.
I hate it.
But like 7:30, 7:20 starts are ridiculous. 9 o'clock's decent. I started school at 8:30, so I get you. But, like, 7:20? I can't do that. That's crazy.
All right. So, this one divided a lot of households. So, be careful with this answer.
Oh, okay.
You want your toilet paper over or under?
Ooh. Under. It's easier to flip and rip.
Yes.
I'm going to trademark that. Flip and rip. Let's get it.
All right, so the last one, this one, like another one that kind of divided a lot of households. Are you an Amazon Prime guy or Netflix?
So I started with Netflix from day one. I just got Amazon Prime. It's dope, but I have to stay committed to Netflix.
Okay, so I got a follow-up with that one, Dave. Is it your account? No, I know dry snitching. You don't have an account.
We don't do that,
right?
I'll admit
I pay for my account, but a lot of people have my account.
Hold on. Okay, so I got another question. Is it full? Like, do you have space for one more?
I'm always willing to help out somebody who's trying to catch up on some shows. That binge watch, I'm about that life. That binge watch life is dope.
I heard they said we're talking about increasing the prices, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But it seems like everybody sways to Netflix. Like, it's more selection on Netflix. Amazon may have more movies, but it seems a lot more limited than Netflix is. So.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Amazon Prime has, like, really good movie selections, like, especially if you're, like, just trying to lay back, watch a movie. But, like, if you're trying to watch something in, like, you know, 20 minutes, take a break, you know, a couple hours and then take a break, like, Netflix is hands down. I mean, Hulu is dope, but, like, Unless you have Hulu, like the upgraded version with no commercials, it's not worth it.
I think the reason Amazon is losing right now is because it doesn't hit the millennials the way Netflix does. Netflix has its own slogan, Netflix and chill.
Right.
You don't really have Amazon Prime and Dime or nothing like that.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't.
That's true.
Until they
get
a saying, it's not gonna go. I mean.
You know what else Netflix has, though? They have that old school 90s stuff. So they have cartoons from the 90s. They have
shows
from the 90s. Yes, our childhood. You know? So like, exactly. So they hit a soft spot for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So basically, right. Louis, when our subscriptions run out, we'll be hitting you up for that pass.
Yeah. Hey, I'm all about sharing is caring, for sure.
All right, but that was it for this or that. Just wanted to get you loosened up a little bit. But let's get right into the questions. Kelsey, take it away.
Yes, Lewis, again, we are so excited to have you here on Listen In with K&N. And that being said, you do a whole bunch of stuff, obviously, even though I have a little questions, Lewis, about some of your answers on this and that. But I won't judge you for it. I'm still the only person that said she likes pumpkin pie better than sweet potato pie. But it's okay. I have hope that one day a guest will agree with me. But that being said, Lewis, have you been watching the NBA playoffs?
Absolutely. You know, my team, the Boston Celtics, were you know, knocked out, unfortunately. But it's great basketball right now, and that's why I really love the playoffs this year. You're seeing some quality basketball with some quality athletes.
Yeah, and that being said, I mean, we're all very excited about the future of the NBA, and we're all excited about, of course, Zion Williamson. And that being said, I mean, do you think the future of basketball is in good hands?
I do, and I mean, I think a lot of talk goes with Zion, but I think you look at that draft class, you got a lot of Duke players, you got a lot of all-around great players that are coming out, especially if Zion does come out. But I think from top to bottom, even the top, I think, 6 or 7 picks in the draft are going to be decent players you can see commit to the NBA and play probably in their first year. So I do think it's in good hands. I think the coaches in the college game are really good, and that goes underrated. You get a lot of NBA coaches that go back that, you know, don't really like quit the game or go overseas. They come back and commit to the youth. And I think that's a big, you know, that's a big champion to the NBA.
I'm going to be honest. I think Kelsey let you off the hook a little bit with that first question. I heard you say you're a Boston Celtics fan, so I'm just going to go right in.
I was trying to be nice.
What's the move with Kyrie, man? What are y'all going to do with Kyrie? You want him to stay as a collective fan base, or personally, do you want him to stay? Or just let him rock out?
So as a fan base, I think, to be honest, it's divided. And I think Kyrie did that on himself, to be honest, because a lot of Celtics fans came in wanting to give him a chance, wanted to see him grow here as a Celtic. And we never really had a predominant point guard. You know, it's been a while since we had a predominant point guard. You can think about, like, Antoine Walker, Paul Pierce. Rondo was decent, but, like, really, you know, we got rid of him after a couple years. So Kyrie, you know, we wanted him to be that staple. And I think after all that drama midseason, after, like, the media, kind of going back to how he was in Cleveland, it kind of rubbed people the wrong way. And I agree that, like, personally, that's what rubbed me the wrong way with Kyrie. Like, I was ready to buy a jersey. I was ready to, like, invest. And then it was like, wait, I don't really feel like he's invested in us anymore. So, I'll be happy to see him stay. I think he'll be better off going to the Knicks if that's where he decides to go. But either way, you know, I'm not really committed to Kyrie as a Boston Celtics fan.
That's interesting you say that, because I'm a diehard Knicks fan, and honestly, I don't even want Kyrie to be completely honest with you. I feel like the way he carried himself wasn't very attractive for him to be such a marquee player or to give him a max contract. You can tell he didn't really want to be in Boston anymore. I don't know if he caused issues in the locker room with that, but if you say you want to let Kyrie walk, how do you feel about Rozier?
Oh man, Terry. See, the thing is I thought Scary Terry would have a bigger role this year. And you know, to his credit, when he went, I think it was on First Take when he was talking about it, you know, he did give up a lot. This was a young man that came off the bench and you know, and then became a starter. So I think he is talented enough to be one of the top point guards in the league. I think he just needs that chance. And if Kyrie leaves, I hope Brad Stevens gives him that opportunity.
Wow, because I know the Knicks are trying to there was rumors of them maybe pursuing Scary Terry as well. So you guys may have some suitors, because Scary Terry definitely was one of the top point guards. I'm not sure if he's in the top half or not. He may be around 15, 16. But he definitely had to take a step back because of Kyrie, because he's so ball dominant. So it would be interesting to see which way he goes.
To your point, the Knicks aren't looking for a point guard in the draft. I think they were, like, talking about, like, R.J. Barrett or something like that, and he can move to the 2 or the 3. So if you pick up Scary Terry or Kyrie, that Knicks team's going to look decent.
I really prefer them to get Kemba, honestly, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
And, Lewis, just hearing your conversation on that, just finish this sentence for me. So to win the East next year, the Boston Celtics need to what?
Fix their chemistry. I think they have the talent, and that was proven last year when they made it to Game 7 of the Conference Finals. When it comes down to it, it's really the chemistry. When that team plays together, they're unstoppable, and we saw that in the first round. But outside, you know, some noise inside the locker room. I mean, you can see it. Even, you know, Tatum didn't play as well as he did in last year's playoffs. Brown didn't play as well as he did last year. Like, there were just a lot of things that you saw that the team had last year that they didn't have this year. And I think if they fix that chemistry, they don't really have to add any pieces. Hayward gets better. If Irving stays or if Terry Rozier stays, I think we have the pieces to be a competitive team in the East.
I agree. I think Boston will continue to be on top of that conversation when we talk about who will be dominant in the East next year. And that being said, you guys talked about New York earlier. Chris Bussard has said earlier that he thinks Brooklyn will be one of the teams that will be active, of course, in trade negotiations with the Pelicans, trying to get Anthony Davis, and he hopes that he's paired up with Kyrie Irving. Do you see that coming to fruition? And if so, why do you like that move?
I don't see a Kyrie Davis move. I really see more of a Kyrie Durant move together, to be honest. If that works out, I think that could be a dangerous force in the NBA, to be honest.
Yeah.
like, you know, those two together, if they stay healthy, that's the real question. If they can both stay healthy and play a majority of the regular season, and then rest up and play some playoff ball, that combination could be one of the best in the NBA to watch. But, you know, all the talk that I've heard, everything that I've seen is all about Durant and maybe Irving. So I'm a little skeptical of Davis and Irving.
All right, before we get you out of here, though, who do you have winning the championship?
I have to go with the Warriors. I mean, they're playing some incredible basketball right now.
Wow. So nobody out of the East has a chance, or what?
No chance. I mean, if it's Toronto, it's probably a sweep. If it's Milwaukee, the Bucks might get a game or two, but nah. I mean, when you look at what the Warriors are doing, I think they're averaging like 117 points a game right now. The Trailblazers were that team in the regular season that was that high scoring team, and they got them, I think, at like 100 points a game, which is like 14 points below the average. What the Warriors are doing, even without Durant, is just incredible. So you think about if they had Boogie, if they had Durant, that's like the U.S. Olympic team right there. So you know what they're doing, the team they have, the core they have. I mean, you look at what they did last game. That's the team that won 73 games. That's the team that lost to LeBron in the finals. Like, that's Iguodala, Draymond, Steph, and Clay, and that's the core of that team. That's the chemistry of that team. This is what I was talking about with the Celtics, right? Like, they need to develop that chemistry. So the Warriors have that. The Warriors are about to do something that the Celtics did in, like, the 60s, the 50s and the 60s. No other team has done, and that's make it the five NBA finals in a row. It's incredible what they're doing, and I just don't see any team beating them. I mean, even the Trailblazers tonight, they might win that game, but I just don't see them beating the Warriors.
Yeah, it's hard to count against them. So, Lewis, believe me, everyone that comes on the show that we ask that question says that very same answer. Because, as we said, they've just got it all. And right now, nobody has the answer to stop them. Yeah. Lewis, we'll definitely have to have you come back on to talk more basketball. This was fun. But before we let you go, can you please drop your social media info so our fans can follow you?
Absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at Lewis_myw or on Facebook, Lewis Alfredo, or you can find me on Instagram at LewisDC12.
Perfect. Thanks so much again, and thanks for joining us. Can't wait to have you back.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Right. Wow. Lewis was such a fabulous guest, but he's got me excited to talk more NBA playoffs. So it's now time for sports around the nation. And of course, Ray, we have to start off with the Golden State Warriors, who are about to possibly sweep the series as they face the Portland Trailblazers. Warriors are up 3-0. But Ray, before game four, the big news, of course, was that Andre Iguodala, yes, Iggy is out. Ray, when you first heard that news, give me your first initial thoughts.
It kind of goes into the season. Like, he's been having a lot of injuries all year, in and out the lineup. He's getting up there in age. So this may become not necessarily a problem this series, but next series it may have an impact, especially depending on the health of Kevin Durant and Boogie Cousins, because, you know, they're both out right now as well. They're expected to make returns, but we never know. So that's three key players right there out of their rotation that's down. So hopefully the Iguodala injury is more so of a resting issue. It's just more so like they don't need him for this particular game, and he's just using his time to recover. But if not, yeah, they may be having some issues next series.
I'm telling you, right, because at this point, it's like how many stars can go down? You talked about it. I mean, Iggy has been a fantastic player for the Warriors with his time with the team. He's averaging 10.1 points and 4.3 rebounds per game, shooting over 50% from the field and about 38% from behind the arc. So you talked about it. I mean, missing him, I think, could be huge next series. They are still the Warriors, and I think if they get Kevin Durant back, it won't be as bad. But let's remember, the Warriors are current, but they're trying to advance to their fifth straight NBA Finals, all right? So Iggy going out, it sucks, but again, the Warriors team is probably the most confident and comfortable with the star going down right now. And that being said, Portland, my, right? I mean, are you ready to get the brooms? I mean, what's going on with Portland, and why can't we have a more competitive series?
I'm a little disappointed in Portland. You know, previously, before we started the series, I definitely said I had a feeling that Portland could actually get the Warriors. They blew two games, man. They were up by 15 in two of the last two games, mm-hmm. and they just couldn't maintain the lead. They couldn't close out. I'm not sure if it was a fatigue issue, what the issue was, but it's unfortunate because Dame and CJ were balling out these playoffs, and they came a long way. Just for them to potentially get swept or go out in five games just kind of sucks. It's a terrible way to end the season. Outside of that, we already spoke on it. We already talked about the Warriors moving on to the next series. So it's really not too much more to say. We don't really expect the Portland.
We already did it. I mean,
no team in history has ever come back from 0-3. So it's kind of the writing's on the wall at this point.
Yeah, and Portland won't be the team to do it. I'm sorry to all the Portland fans out there. But as you said, they struggled, especially that second half, and especially at home when they had to get that win. They just couldn't sustain themselves, and it sucks. But I mean, it is important to know, I did really like the lineup change that they did with Myers-Leonard in game three for Cantor. But then, of course, I mean, it's just he played solid, but he's still not your star. And still, I mean, you need a Dame, you need a CJ. You just have to have everyone play good when you're going against a team like the Warriors. But
it's just amazing. Oh,
sorry for
it. I'm sorry. It's just amazing that they really had to miss Nurkic. Until this series. Like, this would have been the series that uh-huh. they would have needed him because, you know, Dame's kind of slumping right now. Nurkic would have picked up those points. He would have gave that toughness in the middle to counter Draymond's toughness. And I feel like they made it this far, and just if they would have been at full strength, it would have been a completely different series.
Yeah. And quick shout-out to Draymond because I feel like he never gets good love, but I love the encouragement he was giving Jordan Bell after that missed dunk. Did you see that video at all, Ray?
Yeah, I saw that. It was pretty easy. You missed a shot. Hey, missed a shot. Everybody missed a shot.
Yeah. I was like, look at you, Mr. Motivational Speaker. I needed him for some of them hard tests I had back in college. Would have felt a little bit better about myself. But it was good to just see the support that he has. I feel like he gets a bad rep, but it was great to see that. And I think he's just human like the rest of us. And overall, you just see he's a great teammate. All right, that being said, we have to move on to Milwaukee, who was up 2-1 against the Toronto Raptors. Now, of course, the Drake is hoping Kawhi is enough for the Bucks to come back. But that being said, Ray, I mean, of course, Kawhi has been having a fabulous, fabulous playoff series. But is Kawhi enough to defeat Giannis and the Bucks to advance?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and press the caps lock button, and I'm going to press N-O, and then I'm going to put the exclamation point. No, it's
tell
over.
Me how you really feel.
Milwaukee has, I believe the stats said Milwaukee has only lost back-to-back games once this entire season. They Toronto got lucky with their last game, winning in double overtime. I see Milwaukee coming out, stomping them down this game four, and then winning game five back in Milwaukee. So the Warriors got to get healthy. They're going to need Iguodala because he's going to be key to guard Giannis. I got Milwaukee and Golden State in the finals. I'm not even going to really mention Toronto much more. Their team is so inconsistent. Outside of Kawhi, their bench is inconsistent. Some games, Pascal shows up as a starter. Gasol showed up last game. Then Lowry disappeared. Like, they don't have the consistency, and their bench has to show up. It was a great insertion by the coach Nurse to put in Powell, but will he be able to maintain that in the next game? I don't know, because I feel like Coach Bud always makes the right adjustments. That's why they barely lost any back-to-back games. And I don't see Milwaukee losing another game in Toronto or in this series.
Yeah, if you don't know how to say Antetokounmpo yet, you better learn how to say it, because I also have the Bucks advancing, and you'll be saying his name a lot more. You said it. It's just Toronto just doesn't have enough. It doesn't have enough. And it didn't help that Kyle Lowry found out with 6 minutes left to play in the last game. But it's just not Toronto's year. I'm sorry, but we the North, that slogan is just going to be shut down, and I'm like you, Ray. I think we've got Bucks and Warriors. And that being said, staying in the basketball world, Ray, Magic Johnson was the talk of the town on Monday, because if you missed First Take, you probably missed one of the best episodes that there has been. But basically, Ray, there was some shade being thrown. And Magic spoke out on that. He went on television in an interview. And of course, if you remember, he had resigned as team president just last month. And basically, he talked about the dysfunction that happened with the Los Angeles Lakers organization. And Ray, he basically openly accused the team's general manager, Ray, of stabbing him in the back. All right. So Magic said, I started to hear Magic's not working hard enough. Magic's not in the office, he said. And basically then he identified, he didn't just say, you know, he wasn't trying to say, oh, I'm not going to say this person's name. He said the name. He talked about Rob Pelinka, who of course is the team's general manager. Ray, when you heard this news and all that's going on with the Los Angeles Lakers organization, give me your first initial thoughts.
I was like, man, this is messy. Messy.
Yeah.
Messy. Like, I guess Magic wanted to get out in front so he can give his side of it before the Lakers try to spin it. But for him to say he has so much love for the Lakers, he dropped a lot of names today. He dropped a lot of names. He said, this person did this, this person did this. He was telling everybody. It's good for the fan because we want to know what was going on in the situation. Why was it falling apart? Why is there so much discourse in the organization? But
right.
I just didn't expect it to all come out like that.
Yeah, and
because I know Rob Pelinka, he's really tight with Jeannie Buss. Magic's really tight with Jeannie Buss, so it's gonna be crazy next time he comes into the building.
Yep, it was messy. I mean, Magic said, if you're going to talk about betrayal, it's only with Rob. He said, I wasn't having fun going to work knowing that you want my position. He said, somebody's got to be the leader and there's too many voices, he said, the Lakers front office. But then I thought it was funny. So right before the Lakers officially announced their head coach, right, which is kind of when this news broke. I love how Rob kind of made it seem like, you know, that they could make up and that, oh, like, you know, things aren't as bad as, like, the media is making it seem. He's, like, trying to talk about how it was disheartening and, like, his heart's hurt. But I'm like, Rob, you knew this was going on. Like, don't play it for the cameras. I'd rather them just have a real conversation. And we just know because the Lakers are trying to rebuild, and I think it starts with the front office. And the people need some answers, right? So it'll be interesting to follow this conversation. But I was following along right with my popcorn and Coke today, just looking at all the latest news. So I don't like nobody heard Magic, though. As you said, he's like the face of the organization. You think of Los Angeles Lakers, Magic's face definitely comes up. So I just hate seeing that. I hate seeing it. Sorry, LA, that you have to deal with so much. But hopefully brighter times are ahead. And Ray, of course, we have to move on to doing the big in the DMV, where Ray, also like LA, DC is pretty sad right now because Reuben Foster, if you have not heard the news, I am sorry to break your hearts and put it out there, but Foster was participating in the team's offseason program, but unfortunately, Adam Scheffner confirmed it, but he is out with the season-ending torn ACL. Ray, oh. Seems like things go from bad to worse. I can't believe, right, he's only 25 and he's had a history of injury. But that being said, I mean, what's the future for Reuben Foster?
I don't know. Those injuries take a while to recover from. It's usually like at least a year-long process, whether it be rehab, surgery, and not necessarily always come back the exact way he left. So it's going to be a long road for him. He already had some issues prior to this injury. So he's got a huge hill to climb right now. I know the Redskins were looking forward to having him in the middle of linebacker. They had Kerrigan on the other side. So they had a pretty decent linebacker core, and this is going to definitely be a huge blow to them. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know. It's nothing that you can say for him. He just got to work. So everybody on his team's got to support him. The team's got to push for him. He's going to hopefully come back stronger.
Prayers going up. Washington, I know you're talking about the DC curse. It just might be real. We can't catch a break. But now we're going to go to Are You Serious right now, where somebody who else that couldn't catch a break was the person on the other end of Deontay Wilder's knockout punch. Ray, we were rushing home from DC Fight Night. I tried to get home in time. Before I knew it, Ray, the fight was already over in round one. Did you get to see any of the replay videos, Ray?
Yeah, I caught it on Bleacher Report while I was driving home. My friend texted me and said, you watching the fight? I was like, no. He said, they're in the ring. So I pulled up the Bleacher Report, and it said it was over. I was like, whoa, what happened? And then I just watched it. It was a quick little – it was the first round, like I think a minute or so into the round. But it's his patented punch. Like, he always leads with the left, with the comes the overhand right. And it comes with a lot of fire.
Oh,
and
my God.
If it hits you clean, it's over. It's night-night. If you see Brazil's chin.
As we saw.
See Brazil's chin, his whole chin touched like the back of his shoulder. Like his face.
I've never seen anybody's face do that. It's crazy.
I was like,
oh my gosh.
It's like he flipped the switch and it went all the way to the other side.
Oh my God, I felt so bad. And then especially now with social media, right? He's gonna have to relive that moment again and again and again. Deontay Wilder, I had a chance to talk to him during the Super Bowl. Let me tell you, I mean, I know he has this persona on TV, but he actually is like a great, humble guy who's thankful for everything that he has. And you remember his Alabama roots if you really get a chance to talk to him. But that being said, I mean, I think it is time we put some respect on his name. But of course, I know there's a lot going on with him. So of course, there were his comments that he made this week about killing a man in the ring, and he's talking about Dominic, and people didn't take that too well, and neither did the World Boxing Council, who of course took to social media last week to basically denounce the comments that the heavyweight has said, because basically they said, you know, they don't want anybody talking about they want to kill a man. But I think, Ray, that I understood his context, right? Like, when you go to the ring, he's like, he's not trying to be nice, right? And think about it, boxing is, you're trying to come for somebody, right? It's legalized violence. I kind of consider it like football in that sense. He shouldn't have said it, but at the same time, I think we get what he's saying, and he gives his all to the sport. And I think you saw after the fight that he tried to clean it up and, you know, tried to show that he's just human. He's just human. But that being said, Ray, I want to hear your thoughts on his comments. And also, people are saying that they still aren't sold on all of his fights, of really considering him a true heavyweight champ. So, Ray, also, are you waiting for a fight against Anthony Joshua if it can ever happen?
All right, so I'm going to break it down. You had three questions. So, based on his comments, we all know that for fights, you have to build up the hype for the fight. That is how they promote the fight. So, they're going to say wild things, kind of like Floyd Mayweather gets a little riled up, Conor McGregor gets riled up before fights. Fighters do this. It's basically their way to promote the fight, to get the attention to the fight. That's how they get the publicity. He's just a little bit more extreme when he does his, which is understandable. Do I think he really wants to kill somebody in the ring? No. But he wants that energy to where it seems like, okay, everybody wants to come see if he will kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Because just the way he hits, it can mm-hmm. happen because he is with a lot of power. I don't think he actually wants to do it. But, you know, but as far as his next bout, it's cool to see him fight Joshua, but I want to see him fight Tyson Fury again. Because obviously, I think Tyson Fury beat him. He caught Tyson with one of those haymakers. Tyson went down, but Tyson got up. But outside of that one punch, Tyson was pretty much dominating him the entire fight. I was very shocked when the judges gave the scorecards and they said it was a draw, because I had Tyson up a couple rounds. He was actually boxing him. He was staying away from him. He was frustrating him. He just got caught a couple times. But like
mm-hmm.
I said, he recovered. The key is, when you fight Wilder, don't stay in front of him. If you stay in front of him and you get caught, you got to hope to get
yeah.
up.
Which many Tyson, have not been able to.
And yeah, exactly. Tyson pretty much avoided most of the fight. He got caught with one and went down, but he was able to get up. So, but outside of that, Tyson was dominating the entire fight. So, that's my rematch that I want to see. I mean, the Joshua fight will be cool, but I want to see Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder again.
I just want to give the fans some context about why Wilder's getting some of this criticism. So he now retains his title for the 9th consecutive time. He has now tied Muhammad Ali in his first reign, all right? So he's tied Muhammad Ali in his first reign. Joe Frazier, Mike Tyson in his first reign, and Lennox Lewis on the all-time heavyweight list in that category, all right? And also, in those defenses, he has 8 knockouts, which you, again, put them next to the biggest names in boxing. Ali, Frazier, and Tyson had 7, and Lewis had 4. So this is why he's getting some of that, because people were talking about the fighters that these boxers had to face. And they were saying they don't think he's fought the toughest competition. Now, of course, when you're at the top of your game, always comes criticism. I think Deontay Wilder does deserve some respect, but I'm like you, Ray. I'd love to see Tyson. I'd love to see Joshua. I want to see more. I'm behind him, but I don't think we're all sold yet, and I think that's why the criticism is coming. But as you said, do not stay in front of that man, because if he catches you, it's night-night, as you said, Ray, and it's just not going to be good, especially in the social media age. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back with my Do Good, and then we'll be right back to end up the show. Stay tuned.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
Welcome back to Listen In with Kanan, the sports talent of the DMV. I'm your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson. Joined by Ray Jones, we're back for my Kelsey's Do Good segment, where we decide to show some love to athletes and organizations doing good in the sports community. And today I am honored and excited to honor Washington Valor wide receiver Douglas McNeil III, because last week the wide receiver actually hosted an assembly and fitness clinic at Thurgood Marshall Academy Public Charter High School here in Anacostia of Washington, D.C., through his foundation, I Dream. And he brought some other Washington Valor players with him. And basically, he talked about the fundamental skills and core values that are necessary for these students as they grow up. So, right, I chose this because it's a feel-good story. And I love to just see kids getting fit, but also players talking to them about real life so they understand both sides of being a student athlete. Ray, what do you think about this story?
I think it's a great story. It's always good to see somebody doing something positive. And, you know, you always want to encourage others to do that. So
simple, blank, good. Yep, we give love. So Douglas McNeil III, congrats on your Kelsey's Do Good Award nomination for your community service. All right, now it's time for one of my favorite segments of the show, Women Crush Every Day. And this one, I'm very excited to honor Tierra Brown. Ray and I had the privilege this past Saturday to attend Tricky Entertainment's DC Fight Night at the new DC Sports Arena in Southeast Washington, DC. And we had a chance to meet Tierra Brown in person, which was phenomenal. We worked with her PR team before on this show, and we're very excited to work with them again. But if you don't know, not only did Tierra Brown win her fight, she's also DC Metro's Officer of the Year. And really, right, she dominated her fight against Angel Gladney for her first title, right, ever, the NABO Junior Lightweight title. Ray, seeing Tierra Brown fight, give me your thoughts.
She was amazing. This is my first time seeing women fighters this close up, because, you know, we were ringside. Just watching her skill set was amazing. She was sharp. She was precise, and she knew the angles that she wanted to use. She was a really good fighter. Like, there was no distinction, like, oh, this is a woman fighting. No, it was just a fighter. Like, I was definitely impressed. She handled herself well. She looked very comfortable. She dodged punches. I was very impressed with her. And then even the woman that she was fighting against, like, it was a completely different type of fighters. Like, the other woman was a little wilder. So you could see it was a total different skill class. And she didn't drop down in that skill class. She remained herself and worked that girl out. So good job to her. Shout out to Tierra.
Yeah, shout out to Tierra. Sixth round knockout in front of our hometown crowd. There's no place like home, especially when it's here in D.C. So congrats, Tierra. And we look forward, Ray, to welcoming her on. We're going to talk about the fight and her work. As I'm so impressed that she works as a police officer by day and a boxer at night. Those are the best type of stories, Ray, so we'll have to dig into it. And basically, Ray, you definitely don't want her knocking down your door. So if you're going to do something in D.C., just know Tierra Brown might be the one to come after you. The girl's got him. All right, Ray, that'll do it for this edition of Listen In with K&N. Thank you to everyone for listening. I hope you had fun. I hope you learned something. And, of course, I hope you jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com, as well as new shows that are available on iTunes and Google Play. Yes, love for iPhones and love for Android here. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world. Smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio.